Welcome back to Zillennials Podcast. Today on Zillennials, we have our reading roundup, so we'll be having some bookish conversation. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Typically, our reading roundups are specifically targeted to things that we've read recently within the last quarter or however long it was since we last recorded one. But I don't think any of us have really read much. I know I haven't. So this one, I feel like it's just kind of like a reading roundup, but like bookish things in general. Talk a little bit about books we've read. I know I've read a couple. Some things we want to read and then just other random thoughts.
Do we want to start off with a fun book thought?
Sure.
Okay, let's start off with this paperback or hardback one. When you're reading books, do you prefer like a paperback or a hardback book?
Honestly, I think up until the last year or so, I was 100% paperback. I think because they were lighter, it's easier to carry around and read. However, I think recently I've grown to appreciate a hardback more. I think specifically because I've been taking more books from the library, and I feel like library hardback books feel better to me, where the paperback ones can get beat up. And also, I feel like the paperback ones, because they don't put the jacket cover protector on them, they can get kind of nasty. So I feel like I've been warming up to hardcover.
I feel like it kind of depends on the book that I'm reading and like what the intent that I'm reading it for is. But I feel like, generally speaking, I'm a hardcover type of girl, because I'm like looking over at my bookshelf right now and I'm like, how many paperbacks do I have? How did I feel when reading these paperbacks? And I'm like, almost everything on my shelf is like a hardcover book. I think that's also probably though because a lot of them were like gifted to me. And I feel like a lot of the times people will gift a hardcover book. But I think one of the benefits of having a hardcover book versus a paperback is that for hardcover books, you can write notes in the margins so much more easily.
I think some of that has to do with just the fact that those books are larger, so there is actually room. But you are right. Not that I write notes that much. I think it's more like if a school, like when I was reading for school, I would.
Yeah, I feel like I don't write notes very much now, but I feel like occasionally, sometimes I would write notes. Speaking of writing notes in a book, Angela and Kate are going to roast me for this. But Angela picked up like this paperback romance novel that's like one of those really cheesy ones with the cheesy covers. You know which ones I'm talking about? The ones that are from like the 1970s or whatever. It's probably not actually that old, but still.
No, it's the one with like the shirtless guy, and then yes. The woman's doing like some sort of like drapey hanging off him thing, right?
Yes. So did I tell you about this already?
I think so, because I think you were talking about how you were visiting Seattle and you were worried about like when you were going through airport, or Angela was, about going through airport security, that the TSA would judge her.
For her book? Yeah. Because I think they, like, had her pull it out of her bag and, like, the TSA was like, what is this? And she was like, and then I had to put a cover on it. Anyways, I have started on that book. I have not finished it. I need to finish it so I can pass it off to Kate. But we're doing notes in the margins. And so that is one book that I will be writing reactions on. I'm not that far into it. I'm maybe, like, 20 to 40 pages in.
How is it?
Well, the writing is very... I don't know, it just makes me laugh. I'm like, this is so ridiculous. Okay, I'm going to give you some context. Kate, if you're listening, skip ahead like 3 minutes so that you can miss this part of the conversation. So for context, it's definitely about this guy who is like a vampire being in love with this woman. So it starts off where he's all moody and in his house and somebody knocks on his door and he's just like, he opens the door in like a very mysterious manner to establish that he's a vampire. I'm pretty sure that's how it started. And then afterwards, it's about like he sneaks into this girl's bedroom in the hospital because she's in the hospital and is just like visiting her and talking to her. And she somehow just does not find this odd.
Wait, how did he find her? Did he know her? Did he just pick a random person?
I can't remember if he, like, took her to the hospital or, like, if he just started showing up. I want to say he just started showing up out of nowhere, but I could be wrong. Might need to reread that bit. It's been a while since I picked up this book.
I don't like that.
No, it's very creepy. And so she's like, oh my gosh, he's my guardian angel, except, like, he looks creepy like a vampire.
Yeah. That's, like, uncomfortable.
It reminds me of the whole Twilight series with Bella Swan, and then Edward Cullen comes and just watches her at night.
I was gonna ask if this book came from, like, the 2010s, early 2010s. I don't know when Twilight came out, whenever that came out.
I'd have to check, but I feel like this one predates Twilight.
So it was, like, vampire romance before it was cool.
Yes, before it was cool.
Okay. Do you think it's worth the time? You think people should watch it? You think people should read it?
You know, let me get through the book, and then I'll let you know. I think maybe if you want a laugh, maybe, because it's kind of ridiculous in the things that are happening, and also I feel like some of the writing, the word choice is just, like, interesting. But I don't know, I'll let you know. I'll keep you posted on how this vampire romance novel goes. We'll see.
I think it could have even been last summer. I was, like, into reading romance novels, not, like, the ones with those covers, but the ones with the covers that are kind of illustrated, like our podcast art. Mainly because it's, like, we were talking about, it's, like, kind of a comfort read in the sense of you know exactly what's going on and nothing's really a surprise. Recently, like I mentioned, I haven't been reading much, so it'd be, like, a great time for a read like that. But for some reason, I just haven't found any summaries that interesting. And I think part of the problem is when you look at one and then say you're on Goodreads or Storygraph or whatever platform you use, and then you see the ratings or the reviews and it's, like, 3.5 stars. So then I'm like, well, is it that good if it's not, like, 4 stars and above? And I think some of that problem is that people don't really take those books seriously. Also, like, yes, it's entertaining, but I feel like the writing is not always the best writing in the world. Like, you're kind of in it more for the story. And so that can hurt its ratings. But then when I see a lower rating, I'm like, well, I have limited time. Do I want to spend my time on this?
I think that that's totally fair. I'm trying to think of if I've read any, like, good romance books lately. It's been a minute. I definitely went through, like, a phase of reading a ton of Sophie Kinsella books because they're just so light. And, like, if you want a book that's not going to make you sad, it's a great choice.
Yeah. No, I get that.
There was somebody else, though. I can't remember who it was, but, like, kind of in the same Sophie Kinsella vein. Let me see if I was not embarrassed enough to actually put them on my Goodreads, but it's possible that I just did not. Oh, another one, if you're looking for another author who does, like, that same sort of stuff, Lauren Weisberger. She was the one who wrote The Devil Wears Prada. I think her other stuff was better than The Devil Wears Prada, in my opinion, because I feel like The Devil Wears Prada, while the movie I really enjoyed, I feel like the book was not, I didn't like it as much, I think because I didn't like the main character as much.
Shout out to our episode. You should go listen to that. Hear all of our thoughts. I remember there being problems with the book, but the problems with the book, I think, were prevalent in a lot of book, TV, movie culture of the time. I feel like there was, the only thing I can remember specifically was there was a good deal of fat shaming in it.
Yeah, there definitely was. I feel like that was very much in the movie. In the book, I remember something about being insensitive or, like, being rude / potentially racist towards, like, another culture's food was also in there at some point. And I was just like, yo, like, this food is delicious. I don't know why you're acting like it's not. Get over yourself.
No, you're right. I think it's because her roommates moved out, and then she was all like, oh, good, the apartment's not going to smell anymore. And I was like, I would love if my apartment smelled like that food all day long.
I know, same here. I'm like, I make that all the time. I'm like, I don't know what's wrong with you. Yeah, I don't think her other books had that in there very much. Maybe they had some of the fat shaming, but I don't think they had as much of that, like, intolerance or that, like, racism vibes that potentially came up, or I shouldn't even say potentially came up. I feel like it was kind of just rude, probably a little racist. I don't think that her other books had that as much.
Ooh. Would you rather read in an isolated cabin full of spiders or the creepy insect of your choice, or in a noisy coffee shop with bad music?
Oh. I feel like I'm gonna have to go with the noisy coffee shop just because if there are a bunch of creepy crawlies, I am fearing for my life.
100% agree. I feel like the noisy coffee shop with bad music, it's not the best reading environment, but it's not hazardous to your health. Like, What if one of those spiders or creepy insects bit you? I'd be so distracted that I couldn't even read.
Yeah, I feel like I'd just be in perpetual fear and I'd be looking around like, oh my gosh, what's gonna happen? Ah, but I feel like in a noisy coffee shop, while you can't read nearly as well, I do feel like at least I wouldn't be scared.
Yes, I agree. Also, some of these questions are coming from blogs I found online, so I will attach the sources in the description. That one was Read, Bake, Create, just in case people wanted to know.
Let's see, what else? Would you rather read the last chapter first or watch the movie before the book?
I think I'd rather watch the movie before the book. I feel like Kaylee knows this already. I'm very much a chronological order type of person. And I think reading the last chapter, if you want to spoil the ending for yourself, fine, I don't really care. But I think for me, it's something about, like, you have no idea what's going on. You don't know the context. And I don't know if it would necessarily inspire me to read the rest of the book. Whereas if you watch the movie, it's like the whole thing's in order. And also, they usually end up changing a good number of things. So you're not necessarily spoiling the book.
Okay, I can definitely see your point there. I will say I would pick to read the last chapter of the book first rather than watch the movie first if I was like, although I feel like that'd be less enjoyable. But if I was like really intent on reading this book, that's what I would pick because, one, you're not going to know the characters, so nothing's going to matter. And two, I have full faith that I would forget everything as I'm going back and rereading the rest of this book. I have full faith I would be like, I don't even remember what happened because I don't remember, like, who are these people? You know, like, I'm not even introduced to these characters yet. Why do they matter to me?
Yeah, I mean, especially depending on how long it takes to read, there's a very good chance I could forget everything. I don't know. I feel like books are written in a way to introduce you to characters and the setting, and I don't like disrupting that order. Like, for example, when the last Harry Potter book came out, I feel like a lot of people like read the last chapter, and I'm pretty sure my mom did too. Her excuse was that she wanted to make sure it wasn't sad for me so that I could be warned. So I think some people who like maybe have issues with suspense. Excuse me, a kitten.
There you go. Hey.
She's gonna attack the mic. Just watch. Oh, there she goes.
Oh, good girl.
Okay, so shall we talk about a couple other bookish things? Do you want to pick one?
Ooh, okay. This is another longer question. Would you rather wait 5 years for the final installment in a series or get the series right now, but you have to read every spoiler before reading it? Say, Empyrean Fourth Wing series.
I feel like I would rather get it now and read all the spoilers, which I feel like, Leanne, you're going to pick the opposite. But I think the reason why I would do that is because I'd be, like, in denial about the spoilers and have to read it myself to be like, does this actually happen? Whereas if I wait, like, 5 years, then I have to go and I have to reread the whole entire series. And what if I don't like it as much? And then it's just sad. It's like the Twilight effect.
I like how it would say, trust but verify. I think with all these longer ones, we're kind of flip-flopped. I would probably rather wait because I've already reread both of those books in that series multiple times. So I don't think I have a problem rereading a book series before the next installment comes out. And I'm not really a big fan of spoilers.
I will say I did go back and reread the Iron Flame series. And the first one is much better than the second one, in my opinion. I was like going back and rereading and I was like, this second one, like even the second time through, really, really drags. I was like, why does it feel like everything takes so long to get done?
I don't know anything about the turnaround, but I'm thinking maybe it was rushed.
That's very possible.
Because there was two books that came out like a few months apart, which I feel like usually for books in a series, you're waiting at least a year, maybe even two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, like the first book I thought was good, and I liked the first book more the second time I read it. The second time I read it, I was like, yeah, this book is actually like really fun. If you can suspend, like, I think there were a couple like hesitations or things I didn't love about it that I told you in a previous episode. But I was like, oh, no, this book is pretty fun. I enjoy it. This is a good book.
Yeah, I'll keep reading it. not related, but kind of related. I told you I've tried A Court of Thorns and Roses multiple times, and I kind of forgot about it, but I still had like a digital Kindle loan request from my library, and it just came in, and I'm like, do I try this again? Because I feel like, one, I've never gotten past the first chapter, which I feel like to give a book a fair shot, you kind of need to get past the first chapter. And also, like, even if I don't read the rest of the series, I feel like just to be, like, culturally informed, it would be a good read.
I feel like you should read it just so you can know what the hype is around it. Yeah, I would say just read it to know what the hype is around it. I think in terms of, like, books, it's definitely not my favorite book because, like I said, I feel like they're always fighting someone for, like, some random reason that is, like, not actually important or relevant, and I'm just there for the witty banter between the friends. But yeah, I would say read it. I think it's worth at least a read because otherwise you're always going to wonder, like, what am I missing out on here?
I think that's why this would be like my third or fourth time trying to read it is because I am just curious. And I don't know, maybe it'll change my mind. I will probably always like Fourth Wing better because I think something, even though it's like a little too new for it to be technically nostalgia, but I feel like it was the book in the adult fiction world that got me back into fantasy because I haven't really read fantasy since Harry Potter, Twilight. I think there was something like Vampire Academy or something like that.
Yes, there was definitely the Vampire Academy.
And so I feel like there's kind of like, even if something isn't the best technically written book in the world, if it gets you into a series or into a genre, I feel like it's almost like gets like a special little boost from that.
I agree, because I feel like sometimes people are like, oh, it has to be so critically acclaimed, it has to be the absolute best writing. And I'm like, there are certain books that I do really appreciate for those things. But sometimes you just want something that's just a good, entertaining story.
Which actually goes to one of those questions. Would you rather read a poorly written book with an excellent story or a well-written book with a weak or boring story?
Oh, I would pick the good story every time.
I think so too. I mean, I think if you can get both, obviously that's the best. But I think I'm, unless it's absolutely atrocious, I think I'm more willing to look beyond imperfections in technical writing if I'm having a good time. Say, for example, those romance books we were talking about, or Empyrean, Fourth Wing, Iron Flame books. I feel like this is going to be so bad, but even like Finley Donovan, it's not necessarily the most technically well-written book, but I'm just there for the vibes.
Yeah, I feel like there are definitely some books that you're just there for the ride, and I feel like those books definitely fit that.
I think people, maybe in like the book social media scene, can diminish that a little. Like they look down on it, and I'm like, well, who cares if people enjoy it? Like if it's not gonna win like a, but whatever the book Pulitzer is.
Okay, this gets into my whole debate from one of our previous episodes about the nonfiction snobs. I feel like these people are the same category as the nonfiction snobs where they're like, I absolutely must read this because it's either factual or it's got like such impressive writing. And I'm like, you know, I'm sure people can hone their craft enough to write like that if they would like to. However, some people just want to share with you a story that brings you joy, and I feel like that's equally as great. I feel like that's arguably a better gift because there are so many things in the world that make you sad, and to have a book that is just entertaining and will bring you joy, that's what I want in my life.
I think also know your genre, right? Like, if a comedic mystery was written like a literary fiction novel, I don't think it would do very well.
No, it would be like, what is this?
Yeah. So that's all I got there. Do you want to talk anymore? Do you want to talk about what we've read, what we want to read? I've only read two, and they were both on audio. So there was Crying in H Mark by Michelle Zahner, I think, who is in the band Japanese Breakfast, which I never listened to. I think I read the book because I saw it on some lists. Also, H Mart is a Asian, I think predominantly Korean supermarket, and I was like, food! It's also interesting because like it's a memoir, right? So it's kind of like kind of weird to be like, I liked it or didn't like it. Like, it was okay. It was an interesting read. It was also, like, to be aware, primarily focused on her mother's death and, like, her experience leading up to it, during and after. So if you're not in the mood for, a, like, a slightly in the feels, possibly a little sad, depressing vibe, it may not be the right time to read that. So I think it is one of those books you have to kind of think about, is this a good time to read? I also like memoirs because the authors narrate them, and I feel like that adds a special element than me just reading it in my head.
Agreed.
Then I did listen to Veronica Reese Breaks the Bank. I've had a holdout on this for like months, and it was a fun time. I think I like the Finley Donovan series better, but this was kind of Vero's backstory.
I feel like now I need to read it. I didn't even realize that it was out. I feel like you sent me something when it came out, and I was like, oh my gosh, I should read that. And then I just haven't picked it up since. I've been too into listening to podcasts lately.
It's fun. It kind of shows how she left Maryland and ended up in Virginia and how she met Finley. And it's only, the audiobook's like only 2 hours.
That's really short. That would be for sure a fun thing to read. I feel like even though I haven't read anything lately, I was going through and scrolling through my ones that I've read semi-recently, like most within the past year, or at least I've rated them within the past year, which means I definitely had strong feelings about it. And two shout-outs for ones that I did not like. I'm sorry, this is a very negative turn to this podcast. One, I would say, is The Soulmate Equation by Christina Lauren.
Is that the one you tried to read at work and just couldn't?
Yes.
Okay.
It was supposed to be a read for work. Going back through, I still think it was not a great book. And yeah, I mean, I still don't think it was great. So I would probably not recommend that, especially Leanne, because I know you're looking at potentially reading some more like romance or like fluffier books. It's got like a 4.08 on Goodreads. And I'm like, but it wasn't that good. Or no, it's a 4.01 at this point.
I think they're one of those authors that kind of has a cult following that will rate them 5 stars no matter what, which is fine. Like, if you love people, you love certain authors, go for it. I think I've liked some of their other books.
I don't know if I've ever read any of her other books. Let me, like, click on her profile and see.
Yeah, I read In a Holidays. That was kind of cute.
I think I checked out something wilder to read, but I hadn't read it. And then the other one that I have on my list that I really just did not love was Iron Widow. It just wasn't for me. Maybe it's for other people, but like I was getting back into sci-fi fantasy and I was like, oh, this will be so cool. And I was like kind of disappointed. It was not the read that I wanted. So I think I might start checking out like random sci-fi fantasy books from the library. And if I have time, I can read them because I feel like I'd like to see what some of those books are without necessarily having this preconceived notion of like, oh, this is what it's rated on Goodreads. Because I feel like that's what gets me is sometimes, like you said, if it has a rating and I'm like, ooh, that rating's not that high. Or like sometimes I'll go and I'll read people's reviews of it. And then I'm like, ooh, I don't know about that. I feel like that gives me pause sometimes. So sometimes it's just better to just look at the cover art, read the back panel and be like, I guess I'll take this one.
I have a question about a library organization. Would you rather them organize by author last name or by genre like a bookstore?
Oh, that's a very good question. If they organized by genre, I would say they still need to do alphabetical within that genre.
Yeah.
I feel like by genre would probably be nicer, in my opinion, but I think it would also be hard because sometimes then you'd get people coming in to look for a book and they don't know what genre it is.
Is it really that hard?
Yes. Sometimes I'm like, is this a YA book or is this not a YA book?
Oh, YA or not YA, yeah. But I was just thinking, like, when I go to my library, they'll call out certain books and have them, like, on display. Like, if it's, like, Mystery Month or something like that. But I feel like when I'm just browsing, to have them organized alphabetically, I just don't know what to do with myself. Because I might be like, I want to read a mystery, or I want to read a romance, or I want to read contemporary fiction. And there's just shelves by author, and I'm like, I don't know where to start. I'm not going to, I mean, I guess I could go through every shelf. So I feel like having genre would help me narrow it down.
Ours have stickers that they'll put on the spine that'll say, like, a little snippet like romance, fantasy, etc., mystery. So like as you're perusing the shelves, you can sometimes see like that sticker and know what it is.
Yes, I think mine does too, but I would just like them all in one spot because otherwise you're going to have to like, if you find one in the A's, are you just going to carry it around?
Yes, I think that's a good point. Another thing that I think other libraries should do that I know that my current library does is they have book club kits.
Oh yeah, you mentioned that.
Yeah, they have like a bag of like 10 books and it's all the same book. So you can go and you can check out just the whole bag for your book club.
That's so fun.
It's really smart. I was like, I kind of love that.
And you said some of the books we've read, they've had.
We have. So it's always very exciting. I'll go and I'll be like, do they have any books that I've read on the book club list? Because then I know that you also think it's a good read.
There are a couple books that I'm kind of excited to read that are coming out in the next few months.
No, tell me what books you're excited to read. I've been like not in the book world for a minute, so.
Neither have I, but I just kind of like looked through my TBR, which is embarrassingly long at like close to 500 books. We really gotta do some maintenance on that. But one of them is Somewhere Beyond the Sea, which I don't know if it's like a sequel or a companion novel, but it's in the world of The House on the Cerulean Sea by T.J. Klune, who I feel like is one of my favorite authors recently. So I think that'd be fun. And the other one is The Gunkle Abroad. Because we love The Gunkle, and this one takes place in Italy. So part of me is like, oh, I want to read it right when it comes out. And then the other part is like, no, save it, bring it to your trip, and read it in Italy.
Yes, I feel like, oh, that's going to be such a hard decision on what you want to do. That'll definitely be tough. On my list, I currently have, what are some of the highlights? I've got a couple of books by Brandon Sanderson, which I think Ruhika had recommended. Also, I have a couple books by Emily Henry on my list. If you're looking for a good like romance author, I feel like her books, I enjoy them. I definitely have my reservations about them, but I do enjoy them.
I've read a few of them.
I feel like they're good. I just don't know that they're like 100% my cup of tea.
I've read, let's see, Happy Place and People We Met on Vacation.
I think I read whatever the one was where her academic rival was next to her lake house or something. I can't remember what it was called.
There's Beach Read and Book Lovers, if that helps.
I think it was Beach Read. I think that's which one it was. Yeah, a couple other ones I have on my list. I have this one called A Tempest of Tea.
Ooh.
It's kind of fun. I kind of want to read that. And then Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow.
I read that this past summer. It's like an 18, 20 something hour audiobook.
Oh.
I did enjoy it on audio. It does run the risk of what happens when you read a long book on audio where you might zone out every now and then.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I thought it was good. Ooh, The Tempest of Tea cover looks very good. Ooh, it's YA. I thought we kind of swore off YA after our few failed attempts.
You know, I don't know. I probably just saved it because I usually don't, like, check the tags.
Mm.
So I probably just was like, I don't know, this one sounds interesting, and just put it on my TBR.
I might just save it because the cover looks cool and I like tea.
The other one I have is The Tainted Cup by Robert Jackson Bennett on my list. Apparently it's part of a series. The cover is also very beautiful. It looks like it's like one of those shiny covers, you know? And that one is not a YA book, in my defense.
Tagged here as fiction, fantasy, LGBTQIA, and mystery. Ooh.
I know. I'm like, talk about some good tags. Like, I want to read that.
Okay, that does sound good.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to help you to add to your TBR list.
Yeah, I mean, you're helping me actually break 500. So, you know.
Of course. Of course. Also, Sophie Kinsella has a book called The Burnout, which I feel like I saved just because I was like, I feel like I'm burning out, so maybe I should read this.
Can I tell you something? That being in law school, my tolerance for nonfiction books is essentially at zero. The only nonfiction book that I've read, okay, maybe not the only, but one of the only ones I've read is a book on cats that I read last year. So there's that. But my bad habit has been looking at the nonfiction book, saying, that looks really interesting, and adding them to my TBR. So there's a ton of them that I've added recently. Dopamine Nation, Finding the Balance in the Age of Indulgence. Outlived, The Science and Art of Longevity. The Cure for Burnout, How to Build Better Habits, Find Balance, and Reclaim Your Life. Then there's another one called Real Self-Care, Transformative Program for Redefining Wellness. Like, all sound really interesting. There's a 0% chance I'm going to read any of these before August.
See, okay, I think the issue with nonfiction is it can be very, very dry. I'm somebody who likes to read a story with some tea. And there is no tea in a nonfiction book most of the time. Most of the time. Like, How to Deal with Burnout? Sounds like there's going to be no tea in there. None. And so I just look at that and I'm like, I think that's kind of where my hesitation comes in sometimes with the nonfiction books is I'm like, what's going to keep me interested? Unless I have like a true interest in that topic that is like, I need to know more.
I think a lot of them, especially recently, have done a relatively good job at writing for a general audience. I think there have been some, especially in the past, that are written more technical. And then I feel like a lot of people are realizing that normal, regular people are interested in learning about this. They just don't want to deal with all the scientific language. They need you to synthesize it, which is not to call these people dumb or anything. It's just like, if I'm reading for fun and I want to learn about something, I want it to be understandable.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And then in your citations, you can cite to the actual studies or the academic journal articles, and then you can go look them up if you're interested. But I think you've talked about this in the past, but like to promote lifelong learning, I think you have to make it accessible.
Agreed.
I think my problem right now is this book could be written for a 5-year-old, and I think I'm just like not in the headspace to voluntarily learn when like my full-time quote job is to learn.
Mm-hmm.
But I am excited for afterwards.
Yeah.
There's also one, which I don't know if it's going to be easy to get, but you might be interested, or I could read it at some point and tell you about it. There's a book called Without Children, The Long History of Not Being a Mother, which I feel like could be a good read for Women's History Month or in general.
Ooh, okay. I'm going to add this to my want to read list, my TBR.
How's your TBR doing?
I've got like 100 some books on there. I didn't really use Goodreads until like a year or two ago.
Uh-huh.
So I feel like I'm behind on the times. So you may have books that have been on there for like a long, long time, but I really didn't start to use it till like a year ago.
Yeah, it's currently at 434 books. If I became a full-time reader, I don't think I would ever read. I think I saw a statistic once, which, by the way, was a 100% chance that it was on Instagram. So take that for what you will. But it was basically saying with like the amount of books that are already been published, the amount of books that get published every year, like you're never even going to read like 10% of them.
No.
So I feel like TBRs are good, but I also think that sometimes books that I want to read can get lost in the TBR.
I agree, because you might add some that you're like really interested in and some that you're less interested in as well.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us. Our next book club is going to be Iron Flame by Rebecca Yarros, and that will be dropping on April 8th.
We hope you enjoyed this discussion on books. We'd love to hear your thoughts about books, any books you've read, any recommendations. You can send that to our email at zillionspodcast@gmail.com, or you can DM us at zillionspodcast on Instagram.